Amen. All about Jesus. Amen. All right. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Amazing Grace. Let us pray. Oh, Lord in heaven, we just lift this day up to you, Father, and we praise you for every blessing. We thank you for every opportunity you give us, Lord, to spread the gospel and to love on one another and to pray for one another. And Lord, we just ask that this message today, that it speaks to the hearts of those who are maybe new to the faith or just visiting, and pray that it strengthens the faith of those who are in a every minute of the day relationship with you, Father God. May it strengthen all of our hearts, Lord, and just build us up so we can go out and witness to others, Father God. We praise you for that. Lord, we ask that you just bless this time and bless everyone here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so my sermon title today is The Letter, okay? And this is going to be a very important letter in the church. We'll be talking about that today, and it's a letter written by the First Church Council, First Christian Church Council. We talked about that last week. So, and this letter is going to be a letter of instruction, okay? So speaking of instruction, okay, have you ever been given instructions on how to put something together, right? As a man, a lot of times we think, oh, we don't need the instructions, right? We can put this together, no problem, right? Right? Yeah? Yeah? I got this, right? So have you guys ever shopped, anybody ever shopped at American Furniture Warehouse, right? And you can't afford the assembly, so you get it unassembled, right? So you can put it together? Well, I bought a desk there one time, and I kid you not, it was like 500 pieces, okay? 500-piece desk. And I looked at the instruction book, because that's what it was. It was a book, right? And I said, you know, I've rebuilt transmissions. And they got more pieces than that. I can do this desk, right? I can put this desk together, you know? So I said, I don't need the instructions. I'll do it my way. Well, I put the desk together. It took me 6 hours to put this desk together, right? And I get to the end. The last step was putting the drawer in, right? And I go to put the drawer in, and it won't go. It won't fit, right? Now I look down. I'm looking at the instructions. I finally open the instructions, right? I'm like, what's going on here? I put one board in upside down. And in order for me to turn it back, I had to take the whole desk apart, right? So 2 days, a six-hour job, probably would have been 4 hours if I had used the instructions. Took me 2 days to get it done. Amen? And so the point is, you know, we need to follow instructions, right? We all need to follow instructions. That's what they're there for. And when it came to our salvation, God sent his son to give us the most important instructions of our life. Amen? He sent his son to give us these instructions. And yet, some men who thought they would try to add to it or that they were better than those instructions altogether, they would come up with their own rules and their own laws and their own instructions. Amen? And this council's letter today, in today's text, it was not only going to debunk what these men had tried to add to God's Word, right? Because that's what they were doing. They were trying to add to God's Word. But second, it was also going to vindicate what Paul and Barnabas had been doing all along on their mission, right? Training these people up and preaching God's true Word. And the third thing, it was going to authorize Judas and Silas as representatives of the church, right? As representatives of the church in Jerusalem. And the last thing it would do was it would set forth four recommendations for the Gentiles to follow as they congregated with the Jews so as not to offend them, okay? There are times when we have to be careful not to offend people in church, right? Not when it comes to the truth of Scripture, amen? But there are times when we have to be careful not to offend people. Because you see, the Jews were still a work in progress. Amen? They were all a work in progress. And so God had already given his word that we may all become disciples of Christ. Right? Jews and Gentiles. Amen? But to some, God's word wasn't enough. To some, God's word wasn't enough. You see, there was a purpose and a process, and the cross was meant to be enough for us all. And it still is today. Amen? The cross was enough for us all. This was and always has been about being a Christ-centered church. It was then, and it is today. And amen. But despite the instructions, right, of our Lord and the preaching of Paul and Barnabas, the church would start to divide itself into the people who were following all these rules and the people who, you know, who were scared of all these rules. And so Paul and Barnabas, they would travel to Jerusalem and they would settle this problem within the church once and for all, right? They were going to take it, remember I told you, to their Supreme Court, right? They were going to settle this once and for all. And upon winning the decision, if you will, they would be sent back to the cradle of Christianity, back to Antioch with some good company and a letter of instruction, right? Some instructions for them. So our first verse today says that the apostles, then the apostles and elders, with the whole church, decided to choose some of their own men and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They chose Judas, who was called Barsabbas, and they chose Silas, men who were leaders among the believers. And when they sent them, and with them, they sent the following letter. And it started out saying, the apostles and elders, that's them, okay? The ones who wrote this. The apostles and elders, your brothers, they're calling them brothers already, okay? Your brothers to the Gentile believers in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. Notice that here at the onset of the letter, they're calling them brothers, right? So they're already calling them brothers. They don't even know them, amen? They're calling them brothers. This is Jesus, okay, breaking down the walls of separation that men put in between each other, amen? Already, you know, as new converts, Jesus is breaking down these walls of separation. These leaders in the church, they had never met them. Amen? They never met these Gentiles. They just knew that they were brothers in Christ, right? And that's how we should be too, right, with other brothers and sisters in Christ, whether we've ever met them before at all. They're still family, right? They're still forever family. So man is always trying to bring division and separate and isolate in the world. Man is always trying to do that. But Jesus and his gospel destroy those walls, tear down those walls that divide us. Amen? When we put Jesus first, those walls come down. Because in Jesus' eyes, we're all equal. Each and every one of us, from the person who's first, it's their first time here, to the person that's been coming to service here for 50 years, we are all equal in Jesus' eyes. Amen? And, you know, he tears down those walls of division, first for the Jew and then to the Gentile. All right? There were many walls that churches and ministries, that churches and ministries put up between each other. Amen? But if you have a true heart for Jesus, he can tear those walls down. He can tear those walls down and we can work together as a church because we are the church. Amen? The people are the church. These walls that they put up can be spiritual walls. Amen? They can be social walls. They can be political walls. And they can all be very hurtful when it comes to our faith. And there are many different denominations and ethnic groups as well, right? They can also put up walls. Amen? Regardless, though, we should all be one in Christ. We should all be one in Christ, no matter what race we are or what denomination we are. If we're a Christ-centered church, we should all be one in Christ. Amen? And so these high-ranking Jewish Christians that would call these Gentiles their brothers, right? They're brothers, brothers in Christ. And this was quite a stretch for them in that culture where they were so prejudiced that it was said that the Pharisees, when they walked down the street, they would hold their robes in like this, walking down, just to make sure that they wouldn't brush up against any Gentiles. Amen? That's how prejudiced it was, right? They would hold their robes in just so they wouldn't brush up against the Gentiles. So the Lord was breaking down some barriers that these men had built. Amen? The Lord had come. He was breaking down, and he still does that today. He does that every day. Amen? He breaks down those barriers. And so when the Lord comes upon us and changes our hearts, we can all become brothers in Christ. Amen? forever family, like I like to call it. Amen? We can all become that because Christ. Not because of us. It's because Christ in us. Galatians 3:28, Paul wrote, he said, "There's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Amen? I love that. Kind of explains the whole sermon today. You see, things that would usually separate us had been removed by Christ, and we were all called to be one in Him. Paul was saying that whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, we're all the same. We're all called to be the body of Christ. Always. This letter had been sent by the elders of the church to what they now called their Gentile brothers in these other areas. Amen? In these towns that Paul and Barnabas had stirred up for Christ. This was just another part of God's amazing plan to bring everyone together, right? To go out unto the world and spread the gospel. There had been a complete agreement, not just between Paul and Barnabas and James, but within the whole church, right? There had been an agreement. You see, in order for a church to be strong and healthy, there has to be a complete agreement between its elders, between its leaders. Amen? The more unity there is, the stronger the church is. And that's still true today. Amen? The more unity, the stronger the church is. A church that is in agreement is unstoppable. And that includes all of us. Amen? So no matter who you hear preaching or teaching in this church, the doctrine is going to sound familiar because we are a Christ-centered church. Amen? We're a Christ-centered church, and we preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help our God. Amen? Unification is the key to a powerful church, any church. Okay, so we come to the letter here, and we'll start in verse 24. It starts out saying, greetings, okay? This is the letter that they sent back. Greetings. We have heard that some went out from us without our authorization and disturbed you, troubling your minds by what they said. It's a nice way of saying they were wrong. Amen? Troubling your minds by what they said. This was not only an admission of the problem, but this was the church's way of saying that we're not the problem. Amen? These men went on their own accord. We're not the church isn't the problem. Okay? They wanted to make it abundantly clear that these false messengers were not of the church, even though they were in the church. Okay? They were still holding on to those old Levitical laws, amen? And or the laws that they made up, really. So we should all be sharing the love of Jesus, amen? And if someone comes up to you and says you are not good enough, right, or you have to earn it, that message is not of Christ, amen? Because you don't have to earn it. The Lord already earned it for us on the cross, amen? All we have to do is receive it and accept it. And the bad part about someone coming up and doing that is if we are insecure or really on the fence about the truth of the gospel, it could turn us away from church. Amen? That's the whole problem here, is it can turn these Gentiles away from the church. Amen? So it's got to be unification, right? Unification. So that's why it's so important as a follower of Christ to figure out when there's a false message going around. Amen? All of us. That's a job for all of us, right? Figure out when there's a false message going around and let your brothers and sisters in Christ know. Avoid this church or avoid this organization or whatever, you know? Let them know so we can let others know about this disinformation that we've found and test everything to the Word of God. Amen? Before we go and let everybody know, hey, this is what I found, make sure it's in agreement with God's Word. Amen? We can test everything's in here. Everything in the world we could find and we want to test, the answer's in here. Amen? We can find it in there. So, false information about God or the church can be very damaging to our faith. False information can be very damaging because it distorts what God's true love is for us. Right? That's the truth. God loves us, and anything Antichrist is going to distort that. Amen? So we have to make sure that we're in line with God's Word. And so they're sending this letter with Paul and Barnabas but they also commended them, okay? They're also commending them, and I'm going to read that next. Verse 25, it said, "So we all agreed to choose some men and send them to you with our dear friends, Barnabas and Paul. These men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, the church didn't have to write about Paul. Barnabas is kind of a hard name. I'm going to call him Barney from now on, okay? You see, the church didn't have to write that about Paul and Barney, okay? I got that from somebody else, but but I'm sure they appreciated it, okay? I'm sure they appreciated them writing about them and saying, you know, how good they were. Just think about Paul's confidence as he's being attacked by these false messengers, right? Paul's always being attacked. Paul's like, "I've been beaten, I've been attacked, I've been run out of all these different towns, right, for preaching the truth, and now you want to accuse me of being a false prophet? Really? You know what I mean? How wrong was that for them to do that to him after all the work he had done, right, for the church? And so for the church in Jerusalem to say in this letter, "No, these great men of God have gone above and beyond the call of duty," was a great thing for them to do, right? To lift their spirits and just to confirm what the church had believed all along. And then in verse 27, they said, "Therefore, we're going to send Judas and Silas to confirm by word of mouth what we're writing," right? So not only sending the letter, but they want to send a couple of their guys, their leaders along too to say, "Yes, this is what we wrote. This is what they wrote. This is what the church wrote." And so basically they're saying, "We could have just sent the letter by itself, but even then you might not have believed it," right? So here's some people that were there when we wrote it, and some of the leaders of our church, and so they would send some reliable witnesses, okay, along just in case to confirm the trusted sources, okay, to confirm everything was the truth. And if you think trusted sources were hard to confirm back then, right, just think about today. Think about the difficulty in trusting sources for truth today, especially in the news and social media, right? Who's telling the truth? Who's lying, right? Well, we still know this is the truth, regardless of what they say on the news. Amen? And it can be very hard for us to know what is true and false in the world today. But biblical values never change. Biblical values never change. And we can trust that God's word is the truth. So whether you think you have a credible source today or not, let's test everything to the Word of God. And if we want to make sure our information about salvation and the things of the church are true as well, go back to His Word as well. Amen? Go back to His Word. And so the letter continues. Verse 28 says, "It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements." Here we go. "You are to abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, and from the meat of strangled animals," which is kind of the same thing, "and from sexual immorality. You will do well to avoid these things." Amen? Farewell, they say at the end. So, verse 28. You know, in verse 19 from last week's sermon, James had voiced the decision of the council, right? That they had all agreed. And here in verse 28, he says something that I believe is the most important part of this letter, okay? And that is that the unity of this decision was decisively unanimous, right? They all agreed. But more importantly, that unity would include the Holy Spirit, right? Go back right there where it says, "It seemed good to the Holy Spirit," right? "And to us, not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements." So they're in agreement with the Holy Spirit. Amen? And what could be more important than a decision made in a church than to have the Holy Spirit in agreement, right? The Holy Spirit should be part of every decision we make in the church. And we see that important contradicting last part of the letter would seem to go directly against what was said or implied in verse 24, okay? So in verse 29, I'm going to go back and read verse 24 because it makes more sense from the King James. Verse 24 in the King James said, "For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment." Right? To whom we gave no such commandment. Verse 29 would say that you're to abstain from food sacrificed to idols. Right? That verse said that all we needed was to believe in Christ. Right? That's it. No works. But then here in verse 29, they say, you are to abstain from food sacrificed to idols and from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. These things would have nothing to do with salvation. Okay? Nothing to do with our salvation. And that would be misunderstood. Okay? Because remember, Paul had said earlier in verse 11 of this chapter when addressing the council, he said, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as the Gentiles were. Remember that? And everybody got quiet and said, what, you want us to be just like the Gentiles? Remember? But what he was doing was reminding them, it's a grace. We're saved by grace alone. And the Gentiles had got the message already, and they needed to follow suit. Amen? You see, the debate about how to receive salvation had already been settled. It was by grace alone. Amen? By belief in Christ. These other things that they were talking about, they weren't for salvation. This was advice for the sake of fellowship with the Jews, both the Hebraic Jews and especially the Hellenistic Jews that would still be practicing these Greek culture things that just were no good. Amen. But as they practiced Christianity, they were all a work in progress. Amen. They were definitely a work in progress. But, you know, we must remember that they were still preaching the law of Moses in the synagogues, right? So they're kind of like back and forth, right, on both sides of the fence. But they're a work in progress. We're all a work in progress when it comes to our faith, amen? So all they're saying in the letter is just to get along, right? Just to get along. They said if you want to be accepted by them in this early church, because that's what it was, the early church in the synagogues, you would do well to follow our advice about the laws of Moses. Amen? That's all they were telling. We're saying you got to do these things to be saved. They're saying do these things so we can just get along, at least for today, right? Amen? So number one, the first one they talk about is food sacrificed to idols, right? It was a big business back then. And there was a lot of food at these markets in these Gentile communities that had been sacrificed to idols. As that some people say that maybe 80% of their food was sacrificed to idols. That's how many sacrifices they were making, right? Even after Jesus came, amen? They're still making all these sacrifices, okay? And so they're telling them, you know, this was a big business. So they're telling them, you know, don't let them know. Don't talk about eating food that was sacrificed to idols when you're around the Jews. Be nice. Get along. Amen? Because they were saying that out of respect, right, for your Jewish brothers in Christ, don't eat anything that had been sacrificed to pagan idols. Just don't do it. Amen? Secondly, abstain from blood and the meat of strangled animals. Kind of a twofold thing there, okay? The Jews had a very high view of blood because it was used in their sacrificial system, right? That's why that Levitical law is there, okay? Because they used the blood in the sacrificial system, which was instituted by God, right? It was instituted by God. They were a work in progress, right? God's rule was do not eat meat that still had blood in it. I think that's still a good rule today. I like my meat well done. I don't know about you guys, but don't eat meat that still had blood in it. Amen? And because the blood had been sanctified for sacrifice. That was their whole thing. Amen? The blood had already been sanctified because it was sacrificed, right? It had already been sanctified. So don't eat the blood. These traditions and Levitical commands still had much meaning and influence on these Jewish converts. Amen? They were a work in progress. So the Apostle James and the elders knew that if these Christians These new Christians didn't follow the basic guidelines of the synagogue. They were going to be rejected. Right? So right off the bat, here goes the walls up, right? Here goes the walls. Amen? Thirdly, sexual immorality. Sexual immorality. These Christian Gentiles were obviously not going to be, hopefully, not practicing sexual immorality if they were saved. Amen? We know that, right? But the council was going to remind them to make sure that sexual immorality was not even mentioned around these Jews. Amen? Not even mentioned in church. Because they had already thought that all Gentiles were sexually immoral. All of them. Amen? They already had that view of them. And so be careful, they said. Don't even mention it around these Jews. Christ was and had already been confirmed by the church council to be the only way to salvation, right? So these were guidelines to get along. This wasn't about salvation. This is about kingdom business, right? That they needed to respect one another in the kingdom of God. And the point is that these four ways to get along and respect one another were not for salvation. Christ had already came. Christ had already came and confirmed and had been confirmed by the church council that he was the only way to salvation. Amen? That was the only way to salvation. And then in verse 30, it said, okay, so the men were sent off and they went down to Antioch, okay, where they gathered the church together, all right, and delivered this letter. They gathered the church together, delivered a letter, the people read it, and they were glad for its encouraging message. We can imagine how these confused Gentile Christians felt, right, as they're awaiting this decision from Jerusalem. They don't know what's going to happen, right? They're probably wondering, are we saved or are we not saved, right? They said we were saved, and now they're saying we got to do this, we got to do that. They had not conformed to these legalistic Jews that fortunately did not represent the hierarchy of the church. That's why they went to Jerusalem. And they were also relieved to hear that the principle of the grace of God had been confirmed. Amen? It had been confirmed that we are saved by grace alone. They were saved by grace alone, and they were right with God after all. And they were happy. Amen? God's will had been done. And in verse 32, it says, Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the believers. After spending some time there, they were sent off by the believers with the blessing of peace to return to those who had sent them. And then I'll call this the phantom verse, verse 34, which most Bibles don't have in there. It says, but Silas decided to remain there. Right? And we know that because, well, I'll talk about that in a minute. Judas and Silas served well in Antioch as visiting ministers, okay, from Jerusalem. They brought the good news. They supported Paul and Barnabas in their argument, but then Judas was going to be sent back. Well, they were both sent back, but he was going to leave Silas there. Silas was going to stay, amen? He was going to stay for future ministry that would land him in jail with Paul, right? Amen? And we're going to talk about that chapter 16. And we'll talk about their jailbreak, one of the most famous jailbreaks of all time, right? And our song Jailbreaks made after that scripture, amen? But so Silas is going to stay behind. Judas is going to go back. And we'll get into that in chapter 16. And then our last verse says, but Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch. They remained in Antioch where they and many others taught and preached the word of the Lord. Praise God. Amen? These certain people who had come from Judea to Antioch to preach a false gospel had the potential to ruin all the work that Paul and Barnabas had done. Right? They had the potential to do that, which was dangerous, right? It was a dangerous thing for the church. But because the situation was handled correctly by the church council, that was inspired by the Holy Spirit, no less, the Word of God was going to continue to go forward. Amen? It was going to continue to go forth, and it still does today. Because we believe that God's Word is the inerrant Word of truth. Right? just today like they did back then. And that salvation is still and always will be for all who believe. First to the Jew and then to the Gentile. That's all of us. Amen. That's all of us. So praise God. Love and peace to all you, to everyone. And remember, we are saved by grace alone. And thank God for that every day. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this mighty word this morning. Thank you for the reminder, Father God, that everything we do should be done in truth, in the truth of your word, in the will of your word, and to not be deterred or slowed down in our faith by something someone says, to test things to your word, Father God, because your word says that we can come to you just like we are, and that you will change us, that your word will change us from the inside out. And then you'll use us, Father God. We thank you, Father, for using us in every possible way, Lord, to spread the gospel, to build your church, to bring more people to Christ, as many as we can, Father. And Lord, we just praise you on this morning. And I lift up all those struggling with sickness right now, Lord, all those struggling with pain, all those struggling with their faith. May we all be reminded that you are in charge, you are in control, and that all things are possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.